chapter number 3. Ephesians chapter number 3. Now again, it's good to have everybody this morning. Looking forward to what the Lord's going to do.
Amen.
Ephesians chapter number 3. You there, get say amen. Going to read one verse of scripture here, and that's verse number 20, where it says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." Father, I thank you today, Lord, for your blessing. I thank you for each one that's here. God, I just ask, Lord, to let the power of the Holy Ghost to come down, to anoint every heart and every mind, God, to open up and to receive from you your virtue and your touch, Lord. Lord, anoint these lips of clay to bring forth your word the way it has brought forth, Lord. Don't let us say nothing more, nothing less, but Father, be according to thy will and thy mercy. And Lord, I give you all honor and praise for it in Jesus' precious name. And everybody says, amen.
Amen.
I wonder this morning if everybody realizes that we all have an ability. We were born with abilities in our life, and all of our ability is God-given. But there's so many of us today that are living below our ability because of different circumstances, different situations. And I think that when we get to looking at it, it's such a shame that we have the ability to do so much in the spirit realm of God, and even the physical realm, we have so much ability to do because God has granted us that ability, but yet most of the time we don't do it because of fear, doubt, confusion, something like that. So in order for us to live in the realm of the Spirit, in the realm of the abilities that God has given us, we've got a few things that we've got to do. The first thing is, we've got to not be deceived. See, Satan is the great deceiver, and he is the one that tries to keep us from doing what God's called us to do. If he can convince you that you cannot do it, then you will not do it. If he can convince you that you are not, you don't have the ability to do that, then you'll never try. You know, if it was to jump over a 6-foot fence, I'm not even gonna try it, Lord, because I know this short, fat man can't jump 6-foot fence. So I'm not even gonna attempt it. But if the Spirit of God said to jump that 6-foot fence, I gotta have enough faith and confidence that even though I don't think I've got the ability, if God said I've got the ability, I've got to run at that fence and trust him that whenever I jump, he's gonna let gravity let go, and I'm gonna rise up far enough to get over that 6-foot fence. But if I listen to my flesh, and the Bible says this flesh is enmity against God, the flesh will always try to deceive you, the flesh will always try to keep you out of the spiritual realm. So therefore, if I will allow the deception of the flesh and the deception of the spirit of the devil to come into my mind and my heart, I will never accomplish what God's got in store for me. But if I can overcome that deception, if I can tell the devil you're alive, if I can tell the devil that God said it, I'm going to believe it and I'm going to do it, then I will be able to do great and mighty things for the Lord. I've often said in my lifetime, I'd rather be the biggest failure for God than the greatest success for the devil. I'd rather try what I feel like the Spirit of God leads me to do and fall flat on my face than to not try and be a success for the devil. Because we learn from our mistakes. We learn from our trials and our tribulations. If God said to do it and I fall down the first time, I need to get up and go again and keep doing it until God gives me actually God has given me the ability. It's that I've got to get my mind right with God to where the deception of the flesh doesn't make me doubt it. God said it. I need to be like Elijah when he seen the little hand cloud, a cloud about the size of a man's hand. I say, that's good enough. Lord promised it. I see evidence of it. I'm going to go for it and just go tell King Ahab it's about to rain. And church, I'm telling you, we might not see much right now, but God said, saying we can't do what God's called us to do. We have, listen, I titled the message this morning is, Yes, I Can.
Amen.
Yes, I Can.
Amen.
The Bible says right there in verse number 20, He said, Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or even think. Why? Why are we able to do that? Now unto him that is able to do them exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think according to the power that works in us. Not the power of God, but it is the power of God, but it's not that God's got to do it. God gives you and I the ability. And we've got to get over the deception of thinking, I can't do it. We've got to get into the mindset that God, I can do all things through Christ Jesus, which strengthens me. I can do it, Lord. You want me to run out on a troop of horses? Elijah couldn't run very fast, but when the Spirit of God got a hold of him, he outrun a troop of horses. Samson couldn't carry the iron gate without the Spirit of God, but he could do it. He couldn't kill 1,000 Philistines with a jawbone of a donkey, but he was able to do it because the Spirit of God was there. Listen, every one of them, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego couldn't go in the fiery furnace, but the Spirit of God told them to go on, and he would protect them, and they went in the fiery furnace. Joseph was in the dungeon, and God told him, I'm going to bring you out and make you a ruler, and God brought him out of there. Listen, it doesn't matter what we think or what we can imagine. God has promised you, yeah, and amen, and what he said he would do, he's going to do it. So we better get in our mindset and say, God, I can do it.
Qualify. If God told you to do it, He's going to give you the ability.
I'll find me another place to work because I won't have a job no more. But thank God, God's long-suffering and His mercy is more enduring than conquest. But church, I wonder how long His long-suffering is. This to eternity. Thank the Lord for that. But church, I don't want to die and go up before the Lord and say, Lord, I was preaching. I'm not doing a good job preaching. Lord, I thank you for letting me preach. And He say, I've got someone against you. Oh, Lord, I prayed for people and seen them receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Lord, I've seen healing when I prayed for people. God, I've seen all of this stuff. And God just, with tears running down His eyes, and says, sorry, I don't know who you are. Sorry, I never knew you. What do you mean, Brother Kevin? I mean, the Bible says to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it's sin. And if God give you the ability to do something, and God's talking to your heart about doing something, and you're holding it inside, and you're not allowing the Spirit and the anointing of God to call out of you and to do the thing that God's called you to do, I'm afraid that when you meet the Master's going to shake His head no and say, I don't know you, because I gave you a call, I gave you a gift, I gave you an ability to do something, and you were selfish, and you set upon it. Say, now, Brother Kevin, God's too loving for that. Well, going to the Bible, I don't have it written down because I didn't think about it until the Lord just brought my attention, but there was a time that there was three men. God came up and He gave one of them one talent. He gave one of them three talents. And He gave one of them five talents. And He left them for a while. Then He come back. And the one that had the five talents that worked and doubled it. And he goes, well done. The one that had the three that worked and he had done it, and he had gained, and he said, well done. He went to the one and said, Lord, I knew you was a harsh man. I knew you was a harsh taskmaster. So I went and buried it, and let me go, and I'll dig it back up, and I'll give you what you gave me. And the Lord said, bind him up. Casting out there in the outer darkness with his weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Say, Brother Kevin, that's kind of harsh. No, that's the truth, church. We can if we will. I titled the message, I Can Do It. Because I can do it through the power that works within me. I've got the power, I've got an anointing that's within me that I've got to allow to flow through me to accomplish the things that God's called me to do. But if I'm not productive, God's going to hold me accountable for not being productive. If I want to accomplish anything for the kingdom of God, I've got to walk in the Spirit, I've got to stay up, prayed up, I've got to read the Word of God, and I've got to be saying, God, if you want me to do something, I can do it. I told y'all one time I went to a camp meeting up in Alabama. And there was a man on the other side of the church. And now I'm 5'9" and weighed 220 pounds. This man's about 6'7". He probably weighed 275. And there wasn't no fat on him. Now I'm sitting over there on the front pew. They up there in that choir and they just having a time. Actually, it wasn't the choir. Somebody singing a special. And they was having a time and the Spirit of God was moving. And the Lord told me to look. And I looked and that man was sitting on the second pew. He wasn't sitting. He was standing up. Him and his wife. And the Lord said, go in there and pray for him. Lord, I don't know that man. He's a big man. I don't know that man. Thank God for His long suffering, because the song they sung about three times. As they started it the second time, the Lord said, that man needs prayer. Lord, I don't know what he needs. He said, you don't need to know what he needs. I know what he needs. He needs prayer. Well, I said, okay, Lord. I can't do it, but you can do it through me. So I went from one side of the church to the other side of the church, and as usual, nobody sits on the front row, so that wasn't no problem. be able to reach him. Because the seat was back. But I got up in that seat, and when I laid hands on him, he fell like a rock into the seat. You say, now you're praying on yourself? No, I'm saying, if we will obey God, I never prayed nothing over him to ask God what he needed. He knew what he needed, and he was praying for it, and God just needed somebody, Sister Brandon, that would go over there, that would lay hands on him, so that he would have confirmation that God had heard his prayer. See, it's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. It's not what I can do, it's not what my abilities are, but it's what my potential is. If I will just obey God and allow God to move in me, God will be able to take the little bit that I got and make a lot. The little boy said, I ain't got just my own money. I got this fish and a couple of loaves, and God said, that's enough. Jesus said, that's enough. Half the men sat down, and then the Bible said that there was over 5,000 men, not counting women and children, and God took that one little fish and two loaves, and he began to break it up, and when it got done, it had 12 baskets full left over. Tell me, what can God do? He can do anything we will allow him to do. We've got to accept the power of God, and we got to go from being just a vessel to being productive. Being productive. Know what you can achieve. Know what you can achieve. What can you achieve? Whatever God needs to be doing. What can you achieve? I can do anything, Brother Kevin. Can you pick this building up? If God told me to, I could just lay my finger on it and God would make it rise up. Say, Brother Kevin, that's impossible. All things are possible through Christ Jesus, which strengthens us. We, as a church world today, have allowed our past to stop our future. Us, as people of God, have allowed what I did last year, last 10 years ago, 25 years ago, or 5 minutes ago, have allowed our past to stop our future. But God said, I can. I can get over myself. I can get over my past. I can get over the circumstances in my life. And I can walk forward with God. And I can just keep my eyes trained on Him and not allow the devil to keep dragging up the path. It's time, church, for us to quit worrying about what I did when I sat down and I asked God to forgive me. The Bible said it washes away, never to be remembered against me no more. So why do I let the devil keep reminding me of my past? Want to know why it keeps reminding you of your past? Because it's keeping you from the future that God's got for you. If your past is keeping you from using the ability that God has given you, the devil is a happy individual. It's time, church, for us to get over our past. Yes, all of us have a past. All of us have things in our lives that we're not proud of. All of us have things, skeletons in the closet, as old saying is, that we don't want nobody to know about. But all of us that have asked God to forgive us have got that past washed away, never be remembered against us no more by God. So whenever the devil reminds you of your past, tell him it's under the blood. You want to bring it out, go through the blood and get it. And I promise you, the devil ain't going through the blood. He's not going to go through the blood. Listen, we have got to quit allowing our past and our fear from moving us into our future. Our past and our fear. I can tell you many, many times how I sat on the second pew at a church and my knuckles turned pure white. Brothers, because I was gripping the pew so hard. Because the Spirit of God said, you need to stand up and do something. And, oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. I don't feel comfortable if somebody else is saying or doing it at this church and I'm the pastor of the church. If I'm at another church, I really don't feel comfortable because I feel like I'll be overstepping the pastor. But you know who the pastor of the church is? It better be God. If there's a man sitting on a chair on a pulpit that thinks he's better getting ourselves into a point where we're worried about what man's going to say. We're worried about what people's going to say. And we need to say, God, I'm going to obey you. I have no fear. There's no fear in us. The only fear is the fear of the Lord. The only fear that God tells us to have. And we should be moving forward with God and quit allowing our past and our fear from keeping us from moving into the ability that God's got for us. Listen. We got to quit waiting on God. Because when Jesus said on the cross and he looked up and he said that it's finished, he's saying, God, I've done all I've done. Father, I've done all I can do in this flesh. Now, Lord, commit my soul unto you that, Lord, whenever I go into that tomb, let me go into hell and take the keys away from the devil and let me come up on the third day and then I'm going to sit at the right hand of the Father making intercession for these people. So, God, it makes me upset when I hear people say, I'm waiting on God. No, God's waiting on you to step into your ability and your strength that God has given you. God has told you what to do. I tell you, church, many, many times I've heard people say, I'm praying that God will show me this. And most of the time, maybe not all the time, but I'd say 99.999% of the time, God has already shown them what to do. But they don't want to do what God has shown them, so I'm waiting for God give an alternate route. You know, if you go into Orlando, you can go up here and take Highway 20, go down through Wakulla and through Perry and go to Orlando. You can go down Highway 98 and go up to I-10. You can go up 231 and 160. There's a lot of routes to get to the same place. But the only way to get to your ability and your calling that God's got is God's way. He said, I changed not yesterday, today, or forevermore. God is not going to change to make it more comfortable for me. He's not going to give me an alternate route. He said, we got to go through the blood. We got to go through the anointing and the power that God has set forth in us. And I've got to be willing to go the way God has told me to go. We don't need to wait on God. We don't need to wait on God. We need to say, God, I turn it all over to you, Lord. It's all yours today, God. It's all yours. What can you do, Brother Roy? Oh, Brother Roy sat there and said, well, Brother Kevin, I haven't been in church that long. I don't really know. What can I do? I'll tell you what you can do. You can do whatever God lays on his heart. God will give you the ability to do it. If God tells you to give a message in tongues, you say, I ain't got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. God can baptize you and give you the gift of giving you a message in tongues at the same time. If we will allow God to be God in us, God will move and he will touch and he will bless upon his people. What can we do? I can do. What can you do? I can do all things through Christ Jesus. I can do all things. What can you do? Well, Brother Kevin, you know, I'm disabled. I'm not able to do this, not able to do that. You already told God what you can't do instead of saying, God, what do you want me to do? God, what do you want me to do? What did the Bible say? Sister Brandon, come to the council. What did God say in the Word? He said, it was surrendered to him. The step of a righteous man, what you say, woman, on orders of God. What can I do? I can obey God, follow him. And God says, do it. Don't doubt it. Do it. Don't doubt it. Do it. What can you do? What can you do today? Only what you will allow God to do. So many people have limited God to the one that they think is where they're supposed to be. Paul, the great man that Paul was, the great prophet that Paul was, even when he said, I've run the race, I've finished the course, he still was in his mind and said, Lord, I haven't finished. I ain't got where you want me to be. And until God called puts me into my heavenly body, I better not get satisfied where I'm at. I better not get where I'm satisfied in the spirit and the anointing and the power that God has given me, because there's more ability and more anointing and more power and more gift that's available to you and I. But we are limiting God and saying, God, I can't do it. And God says this morning, I gave you the ability to do it. If you by faith walk by faith and not by sight, I'll take you to places that you have not even dreamed about or imagined. God wants us to realize this morning. He wants us to realize this morning. Let me read that verse one more time. It says, now to him that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. Do you have the power of God? If you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you've got the power of God. What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? Stand with you today. Father, we thank you today, God, for the ability.